On a chilly December evening in 2018, Tom and I stood in the driveway of the Westlake condominium complex in Litchfield, Connecticut. Tom gestured toward the back bumper of the white Subaru Outback parked in the driveway. The Connecticut plate read 29002. "I don't get it," I said. "Isn't Everest 29,035 feet high?" "It is now, but back in the 1920s, it was thought to be 29,002. I'd known since a freshman geology class that the Himalaya, the world's youngest and tallest mountain range, is still pushing upward as the Indian subcontinent crashes into Asia proper. I'd always liked the idea that the most ferocious mountains on Earth, rising to altitudes barely attainable by even the strongest mountaineers, have yet to reach their full stature. Geologists aren't in perfect agreement as to the exact growth rate, but the consensus seems to be about half a centimeter per year. If the mountain has grown at this rate as an average, it may have increased in height by approximately 16 feet over the past millennia. Tom and I had driven more than 6 hours to Litchfield to visit Tom Holzell, a 78-year-old entrepreneur, inventor, and Everest enthusiast who has devoted considerable time over the past 40 years to solving the Mallory and Irvine mystery. Tom and I have been talking about Everest almost every day since he first dangled the possibility that he knew the exact location of Sandy Irvine's body. It was Holzell, an old friend of Tom's, who had supposedly figured it out. And, as Tom had recently told me, Holzell hoped to recruit some climbers that could be his boots on the ground to continue his detective work up on the mountain. A few days earlier, he had texted Tom a top-secret set of GPS coordinates. My bookshelf included the stories of James Cook, Ernest Shackleton, Roald Amundsen, and many other great explorers like them. But I had overlooked Mallory and Irvine. I suppose I just hadn't taken much interest in the history of Everest due to the mountain's modern stigma. But in the weeks following Tom's slideshow and our subsequent conversation, as the story of Mallory and Irvine percolated through my mind, I came to see these early Everest pioneers in a new light. Their attempt to claim the third pole at a time before equipment and clothing were up to the task was as noble and courageous as any of the other exploratory exploits that had long fascinated me. Eventually, I gave in and ordered half a dozen books on the subject. Into the Silence, Fearless on Everest, The Wildest Dream, Detectives on Everest, The Lost Explorer, The Mystery of Mallory and Irvine, and The Fight for Everest, 1924. So was I now coming under the Everest spell? Initially, I had dismissed Tom's claim of knowing the exact location of Irvine's body. It held little relevance for me. But now that I had cracked open the lid, the Everest box would not close. Tom's implicit invitation to join him on what he hoped would be another expedition began to intrigue me. Then it built into something more. Several months earlier, on a balmy summer evening, my wife, Hampton, and I were having dinner at a restaurant near our home. By now, I'd read most of those Everest books, and I couldn't stop thinking about the idea of joining Tom in trying to find Sandy Irvine. Up until a moment ago, when I had mentioned the possibility of mounting an Everest expedition to look for a nearly 100-year-old dead body, we'd been enjoying a rare date night. "Everest?" she said. "Really? That seems so unoriginal and not you. Hasn't everyone already been there and done that?" I launched into a detailed explanation of the Mallory and Irvine mystery and how this wasn't going to be your typical Everest expedition. By the time I got to the part about the camera and the possibility that I might one day find myself in a darkroom, watching as images taken on June 8, 1924, materialized in the developing tray, I could tell by Hampton's posture and the light in her eyes that she was intrigued. "But I thought you weren't interested in climbing mountains like Everest and K2, she said. "You told me you were retired from Himalayan climbing when we first started dating." "Well, at the time, I truly didn't think I would ever want to go to Everest. And technically, I'm not actually climbing the mountain. I'm doing high-altitude archaeology. Also, at this point, this is only an idea.